might let Pastor Dave know that I had my stool on backwards. Inside out. Because I was picking on him with the wrong stool.
We won't shout him.
Okay, but as I got the word that I might be preaching, I looked up, and in my book today was the gospel lesson was the wedding of Cana for all the Lutheran bodies, but I didn't realize that Pastor Dave was going to do the baptism of Jesus. So that's how we got all kilter with the hymns, because this is about marriage and family. So the gospel lesson is part of my text, and with that, I want to use these words from Matthew 7 that you've heard many, many times. Therefore, whosoever therefore likens these sayings, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. This is our text. In Christ Jesus, dear friends, the Bible speaks about many homes. The first home, of course, was the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve lived, we don't know how long, because they weren't bound by time. Before the fall, they were to live forever. But they sinned and were cast out of the garden. And sin was in the world. So for generations, there were ups and downs with finding any Christian families. Those are looking forward to the Christ, the Savior, that would crush the head of the serpent. So we remember some names like Enoch, some Christian homes in the Old Testament. Remember Enoch? Enoch walked with God and was not. God took him home one day, just decided, hey, I'll get him out of this sinful world. He had a son named Methuselah. His son lived longer than he did. His son lived 769 years on earth. And his dad, I think, was 376 when God took him home. But from that family, then there was another along the way. I forget who it was, Lachan or something, Lamech. And then came Noah. Four in a row. Son, father, grandfather, great-grandfather. This picture of the lives of hoping in Christ. And Noah ended up the last family that was still faithful to God when he decided finally to send a flood and destroy the rest of the world. And then the New Testament, we found Christian homes, the one Jesus loved to go. Mary and Martha, Lazarus, went there so many times for the Christian fellowship. And the home we have today in the gospel lesson is at Cana. Probably some relatives of Mary, very dear, near and dear to her, and that's at that home where Jesus was invited. And this here is the whole point, is that Christ must be invited into our homes every day. That's what it's all about. He was invited to the wedding of Cana, and he came through when the time of need was there. Some of my Baptist friends, I always had fun with them because they didn't believe in drinking any wine. And I said, look here, Jesus made like 200 or 300 gallon of it. No, that was not alcoholic wine. This year. The ruler of feast said that usually the host gives a good wine first, and people get a little bit tipsy. That's where it reads in the cheaper ones, but you have kept the best wine until last. So do we look at the Christian homes, we find out what the first stone is that's built upon. The cornerstone must be Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So the home must be built upon Jesus, must daily turn to Him in penitence and thanksgiving every day for the Lord and Savior. But we look at our nation today. America was founded a Christian nation. All of our laws were founded upon the Ten Commandments. But today we can't even post them anywhere. It's illegal to post them. I'm praying now with the new administration, maybe we can get America on the way back. But it all depends on people being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to get back, is through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and building up our faith. We would to God that every home was a Christian nation, but we know why such a problem with youth in America, because the majority of them today have no Christian training. They're not trained up in the Ten Commandments. So what if I steal, commit adultery, kill somebody? So what? And they run free because they haven't been trained up in the Christian home. It's so important that the home is based upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That we live unto Him, knowing that we are but strangers here, that heaven is our home, and day by day we live in anticipation of that permanent home, but we go through trials and tribulation. But even then, that's the joy that the Cana wedding shows us. Jesus is there, not just for the little problems, not just for the big problems, but whatever the problem in our lives, Jesus is there. What a blessing to be from a Christian home. I thankfully come from a home that had two very dedicated Christian parents. And I owe everything in my life to this cause. But not everybody had two Christian parents. You know, some have one, it's a little harder, but some of our strongest families in the churches today are kind of either caught up in or whatever in one family, one head of the household, man or woman, and some of those are about as strong as any Christian homes we have had. But the important thing about that is that they realize that in the home must come this training, that we must train up the child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Doesn't mean they will never, never, but prayerfully, when they do depart, think of another home in the New Testament, the prodigal son, where one did depart, but eventually, when he came back, he remembered his father and the love his father had. And he was convinced that his father, he didn't want to come back as a son, he wanted to come back as a slave. But he remembered his father, and that's what brought him back. And this is what we need today, to have children trained up in the way of the Lord, that when something comes into their life, whether it's temptation, trial, lust, or greed, or anything else, that they remember Jesus and what their parents have taught them about Jesus. But the ocean, they say, are two different ways of saving people. You can wait for somebody to crash into the rocks, and then you can go out and rowboat and try to bring them in. But they found out the better way was to build a lighthouse. To build a lighthouse. To show the rocks and the deal and keep people from running into the rocks. And this is what it should be in the family. Don't wait until they're shipwrecked. Don't wait. I lived on the lake now for 41 years, and on the lake, we have choices there. Either we can let our kids run out in the dock and fall in and drown, maybe, before we can get there and save them, or we could make them wear life jackets and teach them how to swim. This is what it's all about. The same way when we built our dock, I built a second story on there, kind of a deck on top, because my boys wanted to place jump off in the lake. But I had a hard and fast rule that nobody jumped in the lake, no matter how many hours they trained swimming, without a life jacket on, because the water was deep out there. And if somebody got cramps or something, and I had a son of very good friends of ours, was like 18 years old, one of the best swimmers probably in the state. I'm not going to wear a life jacket. I said, either that or you're not going to jump in. And he grudgingly did. Wasn't happy with me, but over the years, I talked to him recently. He's approaching 60 years old now. He's not mad at me anymore. But really, this was the rule, and you have to have a rule to protect your children. And if it matters here with the water, how much more with what our children have to face in this world today? And they learn from us. They learn from us prayer. Learn to pray before me. Learn to pray morning, evening. Learn to pray in the time of trouble, but learn to pray when things are going great, and thank the Lord for His good, for His mercy endures forever. That's what's so important in the Christian home. But children learn to pray from their parents. I was 10 years old when my dad woke us all. We had 12 kids in the family. In the middle of the night, my brother and sister were going to church to Walter big meeting, and he had a three-wheel motorcycle, and he and his buddy and my sister were on there, and got hit by a drunken driver on the way home. And we got the word, and Dad woke us all up quietly, said, "We have to pray." Yep. Trying to think, that was 77 years ago. And I can remember that as clear as anything in my life. And they got better. And my brother was had a paralyzed leg and arm for life, but he went on to become a college professor and had no problems in life. Matter of fact, he was Bill Davis's father-in-law that was in that accident. And it was just like it was in January, this time of the year. But it taught me how to pray. Pray. Doesn't matter what time of the day, what time of the night, when you feel that you need help, ask God and He will give it. And this is the way people learn. Children learn by example. They learn to call upon the Lord when their parents teach them to call upon the Lord. I was given a little devotion by some little lady out here in the congregation, and it was a commercial on TV one time, a commercial without words. In the commercial, there was the father and the son in this room. Father goes over to the table, picks up a pack of cigarettes, takes one out, lights it, puts the pack down, and walks out of the room. The son sat there for a little bit. He went over, picked up a pack of cigarettes, took one out, lit one up, and went out the other door. Learn by example. There was no words in that commercial, but you can see that children learn from us. And it's so important, our example, whether you're a family of 10, 12, 15, or whether you're a one-person family, the Lord tells you about your life. Remember, in 1 Peter it said, "Be ready to give answer to the one who asks you about the hope that dwells within you." Do people see that hope in your life? That's what it's all about, building the house upon a rock, that we have a life that radiates. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your Lord and Savior and give glory about Him. That's what our lives are all about. This is what the homes must teach. So number one, there must be unity in the home. When a young couple marries, they got so many things to talk about. You know, house, jobs, how we're going to live, what we're going to do. But you must be united around what does Jesus want us to do? How does He want us to live? Where does He want us to live? And sometimes we never quite know that answer. And back and forth, my wife and I right now, our condo's bid for sale for 7 months. We've had a contract for almost 7 months. And it's dependent on another selling. It's dependent on another selling. So we're not sure where God does want us to live, but He said He'd be with us always, and whatever His will is going to happen. So we just accept this day by day. And so He's teaching us patience. If you ever pray for patience, God's going to give it to you. He's going to give you that training. So anyway, this is what that home is all about, the unity and purpose, and there must be love. You cannot live with other people without having love. You must love your neighbor as yourself, much more those in your own home. And there must be love abiding there to the supreme. Love and forgiveness, they're tied together, right? Because the young couple, they realize how important it is to love one another. If an argument comes or anything else, ooh, wow, our marriage is at risk already. Wait a minute. There's love and forgiveness. You promised for better, for worse, richer, or poorer, sickness and health to remain one. So this is so important, whether you're newlyweds or whether you're coming up on 62 years, as my wife put up with me for 62 years coming 1st of March, and Bill's wife put up with him for 51 years in February because I married him, so I know what I'm on. But this is, and I think he'll tell you the same thing, that you can't live without love and forgiveness. They are so necessary every day for all of us. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So there must also be discipline in the Christian home. And I've even had parents tell me, I'm not going to make my child go to church. I'm not going to make my child go to confirmation class. I'm going to let them make up their own minds. God doesn't give us that option. He says, train up a child in the way he should go. There is no other option, and so you have to do it. So there must be convictions that we're going to do this, and we're going to follow through with teaching God's Word. So the Christian home is a supreme place of love and mercy and forgiveness. The cross of Christ must reign supreme in the home, whether it's hanging on a wall or all the walls or none of the walls. Christ still must be head of the house, and we live in daily forgiveness from Him as we learn forgiveness to one another. So do we look at our fellow Christians, our family, whatever? We look at them with love and forgiveness. If they do something to upset us and irritate us, we have to realize that we are often more irritating than they are. Like Pastor Dave said the other day again, figure the law pointing at you, but look at the ones pointing back at me. And this is the way it is with our lives, because we live every day in the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, who came, suffered, and died for us, and rose again, and has promised to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, no matter how large the problems are in your life. if you don't have Jesus, what do you have? Pastor Dave, right now, where's his hope? In Jesus. In Jesus. You know, some heart problem, his heart was beating fast and missing a beat and whatever, and they're pretty sure the medication will straighten it out, but you never know. Just ask Ellen back there. He's recently been through so many of these things with heart. I don't know how many of you know this. His heart actually stopped here a couple weeks ago. But of all places for his heart to stop, talking about God providing, he was in cardiac rehab. Right there. This is what they were teaching. And they knew what to do. But this is what we live with daily. In the presence of God and under His power and His love and forgiveness. And without Jesus, we could not go forward one day, because it would be terrifying what could happen to us any day of the world. So as our lives, we have many tears will fall. Many happy and glad moments. But the happiest moments of all are that we know that Jesus died for us and rose again. That He took our place under the law. He took our punishment on the cross, and He promised that we, believing in Him, would not perish but have everlasting life. I like to close with a short verse in the Bible that was my very favorite wedding verse when I'm preaching a sermonette for a marriage. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And very briefly, some homes I found where husband and wife had a hard time being kind even to one another. They could be kind out in public and they got in private. They were really good to me. And it's not a lot God's asking. Be kind one another. Then be tenderhearted. What does that mean? Means I care about somebody else. If you're hurting, I hurt. If you're happy, I'm happy. If you're hurting, I want to know why you're hurting. If you're happy, I want to know why you're happy. Tenderhearted. But then the biggest one of all is the last one. And that's what's to stand out for us today. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. May that be the joy in your homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that wonderful peace with God that we have through the forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting.